KJRGFM, KJRGFM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207, AP Sumner Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz. I was this close to being back on time. Yeah, we've been gone for a couple days, but you know what? Stuff happens, more specifically, snow happens. So you know what? Whatever. But yeah, this morning, it was a little shaky. For those of you who don't know, I moonlight as another job overnight. We'll leave it at that. I got a text message from a coworker. Yeah, I'm gonna be 10 minutes late. Okay, that's gonna be cutting me close. But you know what? I'll work around it. I'll just sort of skip trying to get gas and speed here. It's okay. Get to the studios almost on time to find out, you know what? Cork's old key card doesn't work no mo. They're finally trying to weasel me out of the studios. But you know what? That's not going to keep me out of here and stop us from having a good time. Got an awesome show lined up for you this morning. We got a six-pack this morning as usual. We got your geeky news happening at 6:20, your news every hour on the half hour. And of course, we got your word of the week to kick things off. So stay tuned to 89.9 KJRGFM. You're listening to The Buzz. We got Thrown by Bring Me the Horizon coming up next.
Geeky news.
89.9 KJRGFM. That was Yellow Card, Ocean Avenue. And it's time for your geeky news. This morning's, it's got a lot of ups and downs this morning. It's gonna be a little bit of a roller coaster. So we'll start it on low and work our way up. And then, I guess, drop down a little bit more and then get back up. Right?
What?
Yeah! That sentence made sense as I was thinking it, and then, again, like a roller coaster, you just sort of fell off the tracks!
I'm confused.
I'm confused why Wonder Woman is no longer a UN ambassador.
What?
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Wonder Woman was actually declared a UN, United Nations, ambassador, an actual UN, like real life, not comic book.
Okay.
But despite being sworn in as a United Nations Honorary Ambassador for the Empowerment of Women and Girls in October, Wonder Woman will soon step down from her post. The appointment, which would have been the iconic comic book character, be the symbol of an empowerment campaign launched in accordance with their 75th anniversary, will end this Friday. This comes after a public backlash in the weeks since the announcement. Multiple people have been critical of the decision. At the time of this writing, nearly 45,000 people have signed a petition calling on Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General of the UN, to reconsider the decision. The petition, organized by the concerned United Nations staff members, said that the institution should focus on electing a real person as an ambassador, instead of a fictional character with, as they put it, an overtly sexualized image. Although the original creators may have intended Wonder Woman to represent a strong and independent warrior woman with a feminist message, the reality is that the character's current iteration is that of a large-breasted white woman of impossible proportions, scantily clad in a shimmery, thigh-bearing bodysuit. Read the petition. So, yeah. That's a weird spot.
That is weird.
And I'm a little disappointed in that, just because it is a fictional character, but who are you hurting, right?
Exactly.
Nobody. Just let Wonder Woman be an honorary thing. It meant so much for not only women, but honestly, dudes, too. I remember Hunter, intern from Mike and Mickey After Dark, he was really stoked because he's actually a Wonder Woman fan.
I mean, I was Wonder Woman for Halloween. Like, she's an icon.
As a comic book fan, like, this was a big deal for me. Like, it goes to show how far comic book fans have gone from just, like, being those outcasts to they're putting fictional characters into prominent positions because, it's such a big part of the culture now, and, like, she is a symbol to some people of empowerment and whatnot,
yeah.
So whatever, man. UN just needs to suck it up. Screw the people writing the petition.
Get over it.
Next news story, I got a little bit more, female stuff in the geeky news sector.
Lady business.
David Ayer is set to reteam with Margot Robbie for Gotham City Sirens.
Ooh.
This is going to be a Harley Quinn spinoff with a couple other, I guess you'd call them villains? Like, Catwoman isn't exactly a villain, but it's going to be very female-oriented, so you're going to have Harley Quinn, and this is going to be Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn from the Suicide Squad, teaming up with Catwoman and Poison Ivy.
Okay.
Now, we really haven't seen a poison ivy in a movie since the old George Clooney one. And it was a little bit cheesy, but you know what? She worked. So I'm going to be really interested to see how this works. But the news has also announced that they're going that the same studio is going to push ahead with Suicide Squad 2 and a Deadshot spinoff.
Oh.
I'm not sure how I feel about the Deadshot spinoff, because it's going to be Will Smith. Will Smith surprised me in Suicide Squad the first time around. I was super unsure of him being Deadshot, and then when I actually saw the trailers, I started seeing some of the scenes pictures, like, all right. But I'm not sure Deadshot himself as a character, comic book-wise, is a big enough character to do a spinoff of.
And see, I don't know enough about the comics. Like, I literally nothing, just based off of the movie. That's all I know.
Well, he's not even, like, one of those big Batman villains is the thing. Like, I can't see anybody actually making a big movie on it. You're sort of just making a movie on Will Smith's name, and that hasn't gone over very well.
But, like, as, like, just someone who, like, only knows the story, like, based off of, like, the movie, like, I can see that, like, the reason why that would happen.
Oh, yeah, and the movie did well, and, again, Will Smith did really well. He surprised me.
I liked his character a lot.
Right? Last geeky news story I got. Adam Driver, the guy who played Kylo Ren from Star Wars.
I love him.
He's saying that Star Wars doesn't even need movie trailers anymore.
What?
And I kind of agree with him, actually, thinking about
it. It's so epic. Like, everybody already knows.
Star Wars is such a huge brand, and it's so popular that, you know what? He came out and said that Lucasfilms and Disney doesn't really need to, release any trailers. Yeah. While talking about his upcoming film project, Martin Scorsese's Silence with Cinema Blend, he was asked about the Star Wars Episode 8 trailer and if he'd be okay with the film being released in theaters without one. To that he replied, quote, "I think that'd be bold. I'd love it, yeah. Then no one would know anything. The less people know, I feel like, the more exciting, the more of an event it is."
Yeah, because, like, honestly, there's nothing I hate more than when the trailer literally gives away everything. Like,
right? You see basically the entire movie.
The whole plot of the movie just in a condensed form, and it makes me so upset.
Well, another thing this article that I found brought up is that Netflix, when they release stuff, they don't release trailers until about a week ahead of time. So you know when something's coming out.
Yeah.
But that's about it, and even then, they don't really do TV commercials. You just sort of maybe see, like, a YouTube ad or something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
So, I kind of agree with him.
I like it.
Yeah, it's a cool idea. I'd be down for no trailers.
I'd be so down for no trailers. Especially, like, trailers that are like, "Hi, this is a cool movie, get stoked for it. It's not coming out for another, like, 7 months.
Oh, yeah, and they've already shown Guardians of the Galaxy teasers. That's not coming out until next year.
Yeah. Get out of here.
That's your geeky news for this hour. We'll be back with the regular news after Tiger's Jaw on 89.9 KJRG. You're listening to The Buzz.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Breaking news. This hour's news is brought to you by the worst Christmas ever to at Rail Art Tacoma on December 23rd. Wear your ugly Christmas sweater while you listen to local bands like Into the Flood, Empyrean, and more to cover your favorite new metal songs. For more information, you can visit realarttacoma.com. I apologize for my voice, America.
Yes!
All of America?
Yes.
Damn. I guess. It's okay, we forgive you.
It's not really my fault.
So, America, you need to vote right now for your next American Idol. Is it going to be a Danica? Text us now, 253-833-5004. Your text messages will go absolutely nowhere.
Great.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, so it's time for your 6 o'clock news.
Oh, my.
I guess.
Yeah.
If I can find it.
Oh, breaking news. Corey can't find the news.
Hey, I found it.
Yay.
Neat. So, first news story. Danica, do you know what Big Bertha is?
My friend's older brother had a bong named Big Bertha, but I don't think that's what you mean.
I mean, that's close. Big Bertha is the giant boring machine. In fact, the biggest ever created that's currently digging a hole beneath Seattle.
Oh.
Yeah, it started a while ago.
Okay.
So the State Route 99 tunnel is now 70% complete, and on Tuesday, the Seattle Tunnel Partners installed a 1,000 concrete ring. Nearly a year since contractors started redrilling after a 2-year breakdown, the Washington State Department of Transportation invited reporters to see the progress. The machine is now beneath Belltown, having mined more than 6,550 feet from Pioneer Square. Contractors estimate the berth will break near Seattle Space Needle in June 2017 and open the tunnel to traffic in 2019. 3 years, a little too late.
Yeah, just a smidge.
But you know what? Instead of trying to push through it and make sure stuff gets done on time, you know what they did?
What'd they do?
They made it available, or a video available, so you can see the tunnel in 360.
Why?
You know, because why not?
Let's look at this gaping hole in the ground.
It's nothing needy. There's just like a giant concrete tube that, again, is 3 years behind schedule.
Yeah, so we can watch you not do the work that was supposed to be done 3 years ago?
Right?
Cool. Thank you.
Next news story, we got another report of counterfeit bills.
Ooh.
Like, I remember a couple months back, there were some people passing some counterfeit, like, $100 bills down south in southern Washington.
Yeah.
Looks like we've actually got some in the north sound now.
Ooh.
So here's some tips and tricks on how to figure out if you have a fake bill. Authorities are warning people about counterfeit cash, as about $150,000 in bills may be coming through the north sound. Counterfeiters are using fake 20s and fake $100 bills on Island, Snohomish, and Skagit counties. If you're suspicious of a bill, hold it up to the light and look for the security thread on the left side. You should see a watermark, a ghostly image of the bill's portrait on the right side, and color-shifting ink. If you tilt the note to see the numeral 20 or the 100 in the lower right corner, the note should shift from copper to green. It's important that you notice the security features are in genuine currency, because if you end up with a counterfeit note, you will lose that money. That's kind of a bummer.
That does suck.
The Secret Service Special Agent Robert Kirsted told Cairo 7 the majority of fake bills the agency receives locally are 20s. Overseas, $100 bill is the most circulated counterfeit. Anyone who suspects counterfeit money should call the police.
When I worked at Kohl's, we had someone had counterfeit money, I think a couple times, actually.
I remember I was actually working in retail when they released the new $100 bills, the ones with like the blue stripe on it and all
the
that
Monopoly
cool stuff.
Money.
Yeah, it was weird. But luckily I haven't been a victim of counterfeit bills, and I've only actually ever seen a few of them, but it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Last news story we got. This guy brings a whole new meaning to I'm not a doctor, but I'll take a look.
Oh, God, I'm scared.
He extracted 10 teeth without anesthesia. And here's the kicker. He wasn't even a dentist.
Is he like a serial killer? What is he?
A Robert Robbie Rhinelander. Oh my God, that name.
That's who I want to take teeth out of my head. Robert Robbie.
He had been claiming that he had been a dentist in South Carolina before moving to Florida, began performing tooth extractions and examinations and making dentures out of his home or at patients' homes, according to the Manatee County Sheriff's Office.
That's horrible.
A Rhinelander of Palmetto would offer to do the work out of the office, claiming to help people save money. The only investigators say he was never a dentist in South Carolina. He had been licensed as a dental technician from February 2004 to March 2006, during which time he had been disciplined, detectives learned from South Carolina Board of Dentistry. Rhinelander did not have any dental or medical licenses in Florida. He was arrested Wednesday and charged with practicing dentistry without a license and was released from the county jail Thursday on a $1,500 bail. The husband and wife told detectives that they were introduced to Rhinelander by a mutual friend, that later social interactions, Rhinelander told them that he was a dentist and had dental practice in South Carolina before moving to Florida. The couple said they paid Rhinelander cash and that he'd offered to do the work from home to keep the cost low. But when he extracted a tooth from the wife, leaving a tooth fragment behind and causing her medical complications, they began their own research and soon discovered he was not a dentist.
That's horrifying.
Right?
Oh my God.
Could you imagine just like going to the doctor's office and be like, hey doc, take a look at my broken leg. He's like, yeah, sure, I'm not a doctor, but this is, I think, how you do a cast. That are like, he was yanking out teeth without anesthetic. or anesthesia. Either or. Have you ever had a tooth pulled?
I mean, I've had like my wisdom teeth cut out, but I was put under for that, so I don't know.
When I was younger, this was probably 7 or 8, I actually had to have a couple of teeth pulled because, you know, they just weren't coming out on their own. They used anesthesia. Even after the anesthesia wore off, it hurt like a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, I was in pain for damn near the rest of the day. So the fact that he did it without anesthesia?
That's horrifying.
Brave lady. That is your news for this hour. We do news every hour on the half hour. Stay tuned. We got something coming up next. We'll figure it out. It's either going to be the word of the week or hash it out.
Okay.
Stay tuned, find out. 89.9 KGRG. We'll be back after MXPX.
It's time to see what weird and crazy things are trending out there in the Twitterverse. This is Hash It Out, right here on The Buzz.
So it is time for Hash It Out if you stay tuned in long enough to find out what we're doing. Hash It Out is where we go on the internet, specifically Twitter, find those hashtags that people use to, I guess, designate that they're talking about a specific thing. I still haven't gotten the hang of it yet. I barely use my Twitter, who cares? Like, I use our show Twitter more than I actually use my own, so. Yeah, we'll find out, but we're going to talk about some of these hashtags that are going around the internet. First one I got, tell us a celeb why you like them.
Wait, what?
Hashtag tell a celeb why you like them. For example, thank you Bob Dylan for writing the best lyrics ever, and I like your voice, no matter what everybody says. Or hashtag tell a celeb why you like them, at Beyonce for being an inspiration to women all over the world. There's also dear Angelina Jolie, I'm still hoping that you will adopt me.
At Steve Buscemi, those eyes.
Right? I want to have a staring contest with that dude. I don't care how bad that sounds.
No, I do too.
So, if you could tell one celebrity, just thank you, doesn't matter if it's serious or not, who would you tell, what would you tell them, all that fun stuff, Danica?
Oh,
they're listening right now.
Oh, man. That's a lot.
That's a lot?
That's a lot.
Like, I think I want to say thank you to Chris Pratt just for, like, being the coolest person ever.
I love Chris Pratt.
Because I fell in love with him in Parks and Rec, and then, like, he was really good Star-Lord, and, like, everything he's done so far I've been a really big fan of.
Yeah.
He's just sort of killed it. Plus, he's a really cool dude. Plus, he's local.
Yeah.
He actually came from Washington, so.
Chris Pratt, come hang out with me.
Thank you.
And Anna Faris, because she's cool, too.
I don't think my roommate's the biggest fan of Chris Pratt, though. Because, like, he always gets told that he looks like Chris Pratt. But depending on, like, the person, sometimes he'll get, hey, you look like the guy from Parks and Rec. And then he gets super sad. Or he'll get, hey, you look like the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy. And he'll get super excited. So he's probably not the biggest Chris Pratt.
Why would
he
get sad?
Because, like, the dude from Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah.
Andy's kind of goofy.
I love Andy, though. But it's the same guy, so it doesn't say he acts like him.
Yeah, but Star-Lord's like a little bit more buff.
Yeah, that's true.
Next hashtag we got. Hashtag add Star Wars, improve a movie.
Wait.
So examples of this one, 10 things I hate about Jar Jar Binks. The fault in our Death Stars.
Oh.
Looking for love in Alderaan places. Then my favorite, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Alderaan.
That's pretty great, actually.
Right, though?
Oh, man.
We also have The Wolf of Tatooine. Dude, Where's My Death Star? Gone with the Wind, and his arms. Yikes.
Oh.
The Phantom Menace of the Opera.
I like that one.
Right?
That one's my favorite.
He's just not into Naboo.
Ha ha!
We have Buffy the Empire Slayer.
Things are great.
One Flew Over the Dooku's Nest.
These are ridiculous.
No Country for Old Ben. A Qui-Gon with the Wind. Ooh. And then the 900-year-old virgin, because Yoda.
Oh.
Last one we got, and I'm super excited to hear what your response is on this one, Danica. When I get put on hold, I do blank.
Scream?
Okay. Like, so what do you actually do? Do you actually scream into the phone while you get put on hold?
Sometimes, like, if I've been, like, on hold already for a long time, and then, like, you ever hear, like, the thing was like, hello, and you think it's a person, but then it's like, your call is important to us, blah, 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 and then you go back to being on hold, I just get so angry, because I'm like, I've been waiting for 7 years!
Damn you, you automated machine!
Yeah.
Damn you, Skynet! Like, my worst thing is, like, when they give you the time estimate, and you're just like, you are number 5 in line. Your estimated call time is
7 days.
Right? And then that 7th day comes, and she's like, all right, I'm ready. Let's do this.
And then I'm just like, F it, I don't need health insurance. It's cool.
But a lot of times I'll just forget. Like, I'll start doing something else, like I'll start watching a TV show, or the worst thing is I've gone to the bathroom a couple of times.
Oh.
And like, it's like, you know what, I got enough time, I can probably pinch this one quick and get out of there, right? Mm-hmm. No. They have a really awkward conversation in the bathroom.
Oh, buddy.
Like, it's like, hello, is this Mr. how do you say your last name? Yeah, this is me, hold on. Gotta wash my hands. Okay, I'm good.
I was just staying there.
I also got a call from, like, one of those people during the election, or leading up to election, like, are you going to vote? It's like, dude, I'm walking my dog. Leave me alone. I'm gonna put you on hold.
Oh.
But that was Hash It Out for this morning. We have hashtag, when I get put on hold, and then whatever you do when you get put on hold, hashtag add Star Wars and prove a movie, and hashtag tell a celeb why you like them. Because celebrities are people too, and they're pretty nice, right?
Yeah.
We'll be back with the word of the week. We'll actually be back with the word of the week after the Menzingers on 89.9 KGRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz. You're listening to The Buzz on KGRG 89.9 FM. Without further ado, I bring you the word of the week.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
KGRG-FM, KGRG-FM, HD1, Auburn, also broadcasting on K207, AP, Sumner Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. It's Wednesday morning at 7 a.m., so that means it's time for your Word of the Week, where we try our best to help increase your vocabulary, I guess you could call it that, right?
Yeah.
This morning is going to be a little bit about relationships.
Okay.
And, you know what, I've gotten way past this point in my relationship with Thursday. Like, way past it. This probably happened 8-9 months ago.
Oh.
The word of the week this week is farting terms. a milestone in a new relationship where both parties, male and female, feel at ease while breaking wind in front of one another, thus getting quite accustomed to it.
Okay.
Right? And this is a big deal. Like,
yeah.
You don't really think about it while you're in the relationship, but there's definitely a point where you can tell you've gotten a lot more comfortable with around that person.
Yeah.
Like, you just sort of go from, you know, trying to look your best and trying to get all fancied up every time you go out to
not,
you know,
given an ish.
Yeah, maybe you go out in your sweatpants, or you're like, you know what, you forgot to wear deodorant, whatever, they'll deal with it.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, man. How long is too long, or, like, how soon is too soon?
I don't know. Okay, so my ex-boyfriend, I lived with him, and I still was uncomfortable farting in front of him. Like, if I, like, had an upset stomach, I would just go leave the room.
See, I think at that point, though, like, if you're, like, living together...
I don't know, but it was, like, I don't know, like, the first, like, I mean, I got over it eventually, but, like, the first, like, I don't know, like, couple weeks there, I was just like, I can't. Like, no.
You're living together. At that point, for me, it's ready or not, here it comes.
I guess. I don't know.
If they're within a place where they can walk in, even walk in on you sleeping. Like, if you're napping on the couch, you guys don't even share the same room or whatever. You do you, but...
Yeah.
Be ready, because the fart's going to come when you're sleeping, when you're awake.
Yeah.
They might actually walk in while you're in the bathroom. They might walk in while you're in the bathroom on purpose, because they're weird. Who knows? But that day's going to come.
It hasn't happened in my new relationship yet, though. I'll keep you posted. I don't know.
When you finally decide to let one rip in front of them, let us know. Give us that update. But I think it also depends on the person, because I feel like Thursday tolerates it.
Yeah.
Barely. And
I feel like she's like, God.
She does. She'll be like, why did you do them? She's like, dude, I'm in my own room. This is my safe space. We share the space. I can respect your feelings, but... She learned very quickly that a man's farts are sacred.
Oh, God.
There's one day in particular where, you know what? I felt it coming. I felt the baby kicking. The contractions were getting seconds apart.
Stop it.
I was like, Thursday, either leave the room now or just you were warned. She's like, why? I was like, because it's going to happen. Here comes, it's a big one. Here's one big enough to where I will give you warning. And that's very rare.
Oh.
So she decides to scare it. Like, she scares me, which causes, like, me to not release it. I was like, oh, this only made things worse. And you're gonna have to live with the consequences, because, woman...
I'm horrified right
a
now.
A dude's farts are sacred. Yeah, she left the room.
I'm triggered.
But still, though, it's a sacred thing for a dude. And the fact that somebody feels comfortable enough to, like, share that with you, even, like, in a bromance... There's a certain part of bromance where, like, you go from, I really want to impress this dude and we should be on good terms or whatever, to, I will let one rip in front of him and rub his nose in it.
Corbin used to always fart near me. I guess that means he considered me a good friend.
Yeah, see, that's a...
Shout out to you, buddy.
It's a sign of endearment. He feels comfortable enough around you to fart around you. Plus, he's also lactose intolerant, so I don't think he had a choice. Like, I think there's a... You get a very special pass if you have some sort of intestinal issue.
Yeah, I'm lactose intolerant as well.
Same with my roommate. I'm just surrounded with people who just are not very tolerant of lactose.
Yeah.
Screw all of you. This is America.
I'm
sorry? We're tolerant of all cultures! Lactose or otherwise.
I'm sorry?
But yeah, just... It's... There's definitely a point at which you can tell. So, hit us up on Twitter and Facebook. We're going to do this one.
Oh, okay.
On Twitter, on Facebook, at the Buzz KGRG. When is... Like, at what point are you comfortable with your farting terms? Like, is it a month, 4 months, a year, never?
Maybe again, just when you really have to fart.
That was your word of the week, farting terms, a milestone in a new relationship where both parties are male and female, or male and male, female and female, we don't judge. Feel at ease when breaking wind in front of another, thus getting quite accustomed to it. Hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook, at TheBuzzKGRG. We'll be back after some A Day to Remember on 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz.
Get ready, because... It's story time, it's story time on the Buzz. KGRG 89.9 FM.
That's right, this morning at 7:20, we're doing something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Normally this spot has been reserved for trivia, but it's just Danica and I this morning, and we figured we'd switch up a little bit, right?
Yes.
So let's do some story time.
Okay.
For those of you who don't know, story time is where we take a little story that's missing some words... And we fill it in with our own, because why not?
Alright. And this time there is no theme, so you just do whatever you want.
Woo. There are no rules.
Yeah. So I'm gonna need a noun.
Knee. A knee is a thing, right?
Yeah, it's
a person,
a thing.
Place, or a thing.
Number.
73. I don't know why, just 73.
Color.
Brown, because the Cleveland Browns haven't won a football game in exactly a year now. It's been a year since they won their last game. Fun fact for you.
A place.
Cleveland, Ohio. R.I.P. that place. They couldn't even. They got real close with that. Was that World Series win? Yeah, they got real close.
Plural noun.
Baseball bats.
Okay.
Trying to think of what else is in Cleveland besides Indians, and I can't.
Animal.
Squirrel. I see a little squirrel. Mickey's actually really good at like squirrel spotting, and she'll always like see them eating fascinating things out of trash cans.
That makes me happy.
Right? Like, ask her about her squirrel stories.
I will. Part of the body.
Oh, I already used knee. I messed up big time. Let's go knuckle. Start naming off joints.
Cool.
It's only 7:20.
Plural noun.
Plural noun. Let's go plates.
Okay. Adjective.
Saucy.
Saucy.
Just like I like my pizza.
Live pizza in the fridge. I'm excited.
I'm jealous.
Celebrity male.
Chris Pratt.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris Pratt, for being Chris Pratt.
Verb ending in ing.
Verb ending in ing. Let's go running.
Okay.
Something I'd never do. What is running? I used to be in track, man. I used to be in shape, and now I'm just a shape.
Oh. Exclamation.
Shape!
What?
I exclaimed it.
That's gonna be weird, but okay.
I don't know, man. I don't know! Is that an exclamation?
Adjective.
Befuddled.
Oh.
Yeah. Cause spelling's hard.
It is. And this last one, adjective.
For this adjective, we'll do tall.
Okay, are you ready for this story?
What's the title of the story?
Gail's New Paintings. Oh no. Okay, interviewer. When did you first know you were a knee? Gail, when I was 73, I started eating my sister Linda's lipstick. I wanted to feel proud inside.
Same.
Interviewer, you recently exhibited your paintings in the Cleveland, Ohio. What was that like? Gail, like all great baseball bats, I was censored. I knew some people can't take the sight of a squirrel's knuckle.
Oh, man.
Oh, my.
Interviewer. And your newest plates, can you describe them? Gail, I have always loved saucy cats and Chris Pratt. By running, I have united my two passions. I call the series Shape Meow. Interviewer, simply befuddled. Gail, thank you, but don't touch. The canvas is still tall.
Same.
That was story time.
Yeah. That definitely was story time. We'll be back with the news. Your 7:30 news. After a little bit of Oakley Doakley on 89.9 KGRGFM, you're listening to The Buzz.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by the worst Christmas ever too at Rilla Tacoma on December 23rd. Wear your ugly Christmas sweater while you listen to local bands like Into the Flood, Empyrean, and more to cover your favorite new metal songs. For more information, you can visit realarttacoma.com.
What?
I'm sorry, America, again.
What?
Your voice is a little, like, it sounds like you're losing a little bit. I can't quite hear what you're saying.
I already lost it, Corey.
What?
I want to fight you.
Only IRL, friend. Only IRL. But it's time for your 7:30 news. And this morning, at least for this hour, we're going to start off with a little advice from our Canadian friends.
Okay.
That's right. Canada Task Force makes recommendations for legal weed for ourselves, since we have legal marijuana, and our Colorado friends.
Okay.
Canada's government said Tuesday it would study a federal task force's recommendation that Canadians over 18 years old would be allowed to buy marijuana for recreational purposes and would announce new laws in the spring that would legalize pot. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has long promised to legalize recreational pot use and sales. If passed, Canada would be the largest developed country to end prohibition of the recreational marijuana. And voters in California, Massachusetts, Maine, and Nevada voted November 8th to approve the use of recreational marijuana, joining Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and Alaska, where it had previously been legalized. The Marijuana Task Force report, headed by former Canadian Liberal Health Minister Anne McLellan, recommended that adults could carry up to 30 grams for recreational purpose and grow up to 4 plants. It was also recommended that the higher potency pot be taxed at a higher rate than weaker strains. It also said that recreational marijuana should not be sold in the same location as alcohol or tobacco. Under the proposals, alcohol-free cannabis lounges would be allowed. That last part's a little bit relevant because I know that it was in Colorado that they actually passed the ordinance to allow marijuana smoking in bars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's the thing you can actually do now. I actually thought that Canada was legal.
Really?
Yeah, I was under the impression, like, for years that if you wanted to go have yourself a good time, you head to Canada, like, especially when you're 18, because you can start your drinking and, I guess, start your not-so-frowned-upon smoking?
I don't know. I've never been to Canada.
Me either. We should go.
Yeah, I know Andrew isn't wanting to go. We'll just, out to off-air subject.
Well, no, we'll just, we'll do a show from Canada.
Dope.
Figure out, like, we'll hook up our cell phones, we'll call in, and we'll just have somebody here in studio, and we'll do a show from Canada.
Dope.
It'll be fine.
I'll be drunk.
Right? But, yeah, I thought they were already ready to go, man, so, weird. Next news story we got. More Canadian news, but unfortunately this one's a little sad.
Oh no.
A Growing Pains star, Alan Thicke, has passed away at the age of 69.
What? 2016 takes another one. I'm so upset my voice has gone more.
The Canadian television icon, most famous for his role as psychiatrist Jason Seaver in the hit US sitcom Growing Pains, reportedly suffered a heart attack while doing the most Canadian thing ever with his 19-year-old son Carter on Tuesday. He got a heart attack while playing hockey.
I loved Growing Pains.
Right?
I watched that show all the time as a kid. I'm so upset.
According to TMZ, Thicke was transported to Providence St. Joseph Medical Center in Burbank, California, where doctors pronounced him dead. Thicke is survived by his widow, Tanya Kalu, and his three sons, Carter Brennan and singer Robin Thicke. In addition to Growing Pains, Thicke also hosted popular game shows and appeared in a number of hit U.S. comedies. He also wrote the theme songs for programs such as Different Strokes and Wheel of Fortune.
I didn't know that Robin Thicke was his son, but I guess I should have guessed that. I don't know.
Same last name, whatever.
Yeah.
He most recently appeared in Fuller House, Netflix's reboot of the hit 1980s family sitcom Full House.
Yeah, he was in that. And then he's been in a couple episodes of How I Met Your Mother.
Well, in his final tweet... he gushed about the success of the new show, writing, "Season 2 Fuller House is looking good. I even like the ones I'm not in." The tweet was posted on Tuesday before he passed away, unfortunately.
That's so sad.
But yeah, this guy did a lot, and it's weird. He wasn't one of those guys that was really on my radar until he passed away. I was like, wow, this guy did a ton.
Yeah, I used to watch Growing Pains all the time as a kid.
Last news story I got.
Alan Thicke was my TV dad.
He was everybody's TV dad. Especially, like, again, early 90s, man. Like, when you had Boy Meets World, you had Growing Pains, those types of sitcoms. Yeah, he was the TV dad.
Yep.
Last news story I got. This guy deserved to be arrested. He was arrested after he pretended to take a phone call and left his date to pay the bill.
What a douche.
Right? Most of us have had some pretty horrid dating stories, but this one might just be the worst. Diane Guillemette, oh god, that last name. Was looking forward to her date with a guy who she met on the dating app and website Plenty of Fish. After coming across Dan's profile, he had immediately messaged her asking her on a date at a steakhouse in Los Angeles. Flattered, she duly accepted, despite admitted that the restaurant was a little pricey for her. All seemed well and good during the dinner until it came to the end of the meal. She told CBS2, when we got near the end of the meal, not quite finished, she said he had to go make a phone call. He never returned, and Diane was left to fork out $163 for a bill.
Holy crap.
What hell of a pricey meal when she realized he wasn't coming back. To make it worse, when she went to message him on the app, she discovered that he had blocked her.
Oh my god.
After posting the scammer's details online to warn other women, she quickly discovered that she wasn't his first victim either.
That's awful.
Oh, man.
Like, oh.
This guy's, let's look over this guy's, like, dating profile real quick.
Okay.
The first thing he has is, what was Willis talking about? He's 42. He's from SoCal. His profession is sports. He's 5'9", and he has a master's degree.
If you have a master's degree, you should be able to afford a friggin' dinner.
He has a master's degree in sports.
Okay.
That's the douchiest move ever.
It really is.
Like, again, Thursday and I, we'll split who pays the bill. We're not above, like, splitting that sort of thing. It's not just that you're the dude, you pay for the bill,
yeah.
Or, you know, you make all the money in the relationship, you pay for the bill. No, man, it's, hey, did you pay last time? Yeah, I paid last time. Okay, I'll get it this time. Or, you know what, can you pick up pizza on the way home? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Don't be a douche.
Yeah.
Moral of that story.
I'm upset.
Me too. We lost our TV dad, and hopefully this douchebag never becomes dad.
Yeah.
That's your news on 89.9 KGRGFM. We'll be back after Streetlight Manifesto. You're listening to The Buzz.
You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, today's rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with The Buzz.
It is indeed time for the six-pack, our top six list of things that are awesome, sometimes not so awesome. This morning's, like, it's in that weird part of, like, awesome stuff, but as a result of some not-so-awesome things.
Okay.
This morning's six-pack is the top six famous disasters that created iconic pieces of pop culture.
Okay.
So we got everything from, like, candy to just famous people or, like, famous things in movies.
All right.
And, like, how certain circumstances resulted in some interesting stuff. And this was definitely one that caught my eye. Last half of this is going to be really cool, but you know what? We got to start with the beginning, right?
Yeah.
So let's start with number six. Here's my noise. Number six is M&M's exist due to two different wars.
Okay.
Forrest Mars Sr. had a fight with his dad, and he decided to move on to Europe. Unfortunately, he picked Europe in the early 1930s.
Oh, bad time.
Right? While stopping in Spain, he ran his soldiers during their civil war. Now, the Spanish Civil War is mostly considered a prequel to the far more disastrous World War II, but it still left 500,000 people dead and ushered in decades of fascist rule. On his visit, Mars saw soldiers eating their rations, able to withstand the heat, and easily portable, their candies were encased in hard, sugary shells. Mars decided to market a similar candy in the U.S. for the summer. This is why M&M's, as their slogan says, melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
Yes.
Mars needed help getting his project off the ground, but due to World War II, there was a ration on chocolate. So he teamed up with Bruce Murray, the son of Hershey's chocolate company's president, William Murray. Hershey had a monopoly on chocolate. Together, they started selling tubes of the product to U.S. soldiers, which I guess is where they like the tubes for the minis.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm not sure if you remember those or not, but like they used to
come
in
tubes. Oh,
yeah,
I remember the little tubes.
After the war was over, the soldiers remained loyal to the candy, and it became a hit. The two partners only met due to the war, due to World War II, actually, and named their project after themselves. So M&M's is actually short for Mars and Murray's.
Gotcha.
There you go. Number five. Prohibition is actually the reason cruise ships got started at all. So Prohibition created the cruise ship industry. Hashtag booze cruise.
Well, yeah, because international waters, your laws are different, man.
Before the 1920s, people went on cruises only to go somewhere. Cruise ships were a means to get to a destination instead of a vacation in itself. Nowadays, people go on cruises to get drunk and maybe visit some tropical island. That change was caused by Prohibition. When alcohol became legal in the U.S. in 1920, people soon discovered a fairly obvious loophole. You're right, Adanka. You could drink in other countries.
Yeah.
All the boats had to do was sell liquor outside the 5-kilometer, 3-mile territorial limit in international waters. Out at sea, people could drink as much as they wanted. This started the cruise to nowhere phenomenon. For a few hours or a few days, passengers would drink and party nonstop in open waters instead of parking in the middle of the ocean. The cruise companies started sailing to nearby islands, like the Bahamas or Cuba. To the delight of frat bros everywhere, this started the party cruises to the Caribbean industry. Like, that's pretty cool, right?
I've kind of always wanted to go on a cruise.
I know my mom's been in... She's actually been on a couple to Canada, believe it or not.
Canada?
Like, to... She's done, like, the Victoria cruises or the, like, British Columbia cruises, whatever call it. It's not that far. It's, like, a couple of days. But, you know, you get to hang out on the boat and go to some cool things. I've always wanted to do one, like, Mexico.
Yeah.
But I also have an irrational fear of open water.
Let's go.
Oh, hopefully I can conquer that fear then. All right, and then we're going to
end
up... Were
you, like, fishing on a boat a few months ago? Like,
I was terrified because I was fishing for sharks,
is
yeah.
Is that why you were drunk?
I was drunk the entire week I was there.
So just get drunk and then go on the cruise.
There you go. Booze cruise.
Yeah.
Number four. Coke became a soda due to the Spanish-American War.
Oh.
Right? It only lasted 3 months and gave us Teddy Roosevelt's charge up San Juan Hill. It also killed almost 80,000 people from injuries or disease and gave the U.S. access to Guantanamo Bay, and it started a sectarian violence that destroyed the Philippines for decades, eventually leading to the deaths of over 276,000 people. So splendid was a bit of an overstatement.
Yeah.
The only thing splendid about the war was it directly led to Coca-Cola.
I'm a Pepsi person.
Well, Coca-Cola was originally marketed as a medicine.
Yeah.
That's why it used to include cocaine.
Yes.
In 1898, the federal government put a tax on all medicine to raise funds for the war. Wanting to avoid the tax, Coke changed the formula and claimed that it was now a beverage. So no more cocaine in your Coca-Cola, but you actually get to drink it without having a tax. This new marketing approach is considered to be the reason why you can still buy Coke at the grocery store. In the 1910s, the health risks of cocaine were becoming more obvious. Cocaine-based medicine faced major backlash and was obsolete by the 1920s. The tax made Coke into a soda and ensured its continual reign. So, yeah, we almost lost Coke just to a tax.
Dang.
Right? And I know that New York currently has, like, a really big, like, sugar tax and Coke tax as a way to...
Oh, does
or not Coke tax, but soda tax to get people to start eating healthier.
Huh.
But at this point, I thought it was ever going to take it down. And I've actually been to a Coke plant, too. Not, like, cocaine plant, but, like, Coca-Cola plant down in Atlanta, Georgia. It's a big deal. Like, it's weird how ingrained Coca-Cola is in, like, U.S. culture now.
It really is.
But it's only been around since like early 1900s. We'll be back with part two of the six pack after the Front Bottoms on 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz.
And now, back to the six pack.
KGRGFM, KGRGFM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP 7 Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz. We're in the middle of our six pack.
Yes, we are.
Top six list of things that are awesome, occasionally not so awesome. This morning's it's okay. Some stuff that's done some things. The top six famous disasters that have led to that have created iconic pieces of pop culture. Recap of the first half, we have Eminem's. They exist due to two different wars, the Spanish Civil War and World War II, so shout out to those guys. Number five was Prohibition created the booze cruise, a.k.a. the cruise ship industry. People just heading out to international waters and partying down. And then you had number four, because that was number five, because I can count. Number four, Coke became a soda due to the Spanish-American War. Originally, it was medicine because cocaine.
See, everything happens for a reason.
Right? These next three, they're pretty interesting.
I'm excited.
So let's start with number three. Number three, the JFK assassination indirectly led to rock and roll movie soundtracks.
Wait, okay. Okay, explain this, please.
All right, get ready for this one. Paul Simon was in Europe when he heard the news of John F. Kennedy's assassination. Heartbroken, he decided to write a song about his alienation and sadness. This song became The Sound of Silence. 3 years later, the song reached number one in the charts. It still remains one of the most popular songs by the band and is strangely influential in movie soundtracks. Until the late 60s, movies used original scores and not pop songs. That all changed with The Graduate. The Graduate was intended to have an original score like other films, but director Mike Nicholas kept listening to Simon and Garfunkel's The Sound of Silence in the shower. The song got stuck in his head, and he decided to insert it in the movie clips while they were working on a score.
Huh.
The song was mostly just another time marker until they could find a better song, but he soon realized the song captured Benjamin Braddock's feelings better than any other song could. The same inner turmoil that Paul Simon experienced trying to come to the grips with the assassination inspired Mike Nicholas to overturn decades of cinematic convention. This paved the way for classic movie soundtracks like The Bodyguard, Dirty Dancing, Purple Rain, Saturday Night Fever, and Forrest Gump.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine a movie without like a rock and roll soundtrack now.
Me neither.
Like, the only ones I could really see doing that are those really big movies. Like, Star Wars is always going to have its own soundtrack.
Oh, well, yeah.
Same thing with
Lord of the Rings,
exactly.
Harry Potter.
Game of Thrones, even though it's not technically a movie, still have their own original score. And then you look at stuff like Luke Cage got really big praises on its soundtrack. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
That
Space
one's not original
Jam.
At all.
Sorry.
Space Jam, Shrek.
Yeah.
Like, where would any of these movies be without their, like, without other rock songs, right?
Yeah. I didn't know that The Graduate was the first one.
Crazy, right?
That's crazy.
All right, so we got number two. And this one's actually one of my favorites. I already knew ahead of time, but it's number two for a reason. Godzilla was modeled after and inspired by victims of atomic explosions.
Oh, yeah, I already knew that, too.
Godzilla is one of the most iconic creations of Japanese cinema. He is beloved by filmgoers and people who like to see stuff blow up.
I mean,
this
doesn't.
Guy.
Michael Bay.
Right? His destructive powers are essential to his identity. With his feet or atomic breath, he can level a city. That was very much intended because Godzilla was created as a protest of nuclear weapons. The original 1954 movie begins with Godzilla destroying a fishing boat. This was modeled after a tragic event that occurred at the time. On March 1st, 1954, the crew members of the Lucky Dragon 5 were too close to one of the largest explosions in human history. The fishing boat had drifted in the waters of Bikini Atoll, where the U.S. was dropping the first hydrogen bomb. The passengers aboard the vessel survived the heat blast, but were exposed to high levels of radiation. All 23 crew members were quarantined.
Aww.
One member, Akichi Kubayama, died. Ichiro Honda, the film's creator, was inspired to make a movie that showed how damaging atomic warfare could be. This is why the monster can knock down buildings and has charred, gray skin like the keloids of Hiroshima victims.
That's so sad.
Godzilla's origin in the original cut of the film, Godzilla awakens inside the Earth after hearing the bombs drop on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. His massive size is due to radiation from the continual bombings over the Marshall Islands. In Japan, Godzilla was synonymous with nuclear protests. However, in the U.S., those scenes were cut out. Fearful of appearing political, the studio just added more background on Raymond Burr's character. Now, when I learned that this was a protest on nuclear stuff, it made sense.
Yeah.
And they kind of paid tribute to it in the god-awful movie, which, like, what was that, 1999 one?
Oh, yeah.
That one, yeah, but it started off with a dude on a boat getting attacked, just like the original one started.
Yeah.
And it was a Japanese dude. So, at least they're kind of keeping true to that. Number one, this one's really, really surprising.
Okay.
Hold on to your butts. Because the Ewoks from Star Wars were modeled based on the Viet Cong.
Okay.
Let that sink in. The Ewoks were modeled on the Viet Cong.
I want to go home.
Ewoks were the cute little teddy bears in Star Wars Return of the Jedi. To some diehard fans, they were the worst part of the original trilogy. Their soft, plush exteriors looked prime material from which to make squeezable toys. But in the movie, they were barbaric, crafty murderers.
You were.
No Teddy Rumskin ever used the helmets of dead soldiers as drums. This is because the Ewoks were not intended to be toys, but rather stand-in for the Vietnamese. According to George Lucas's commentary in the 2004 release of The Return of the Jedi, he was inspired by the resourcefulness of the Vietnamese soldiers in the Vietnam War. The similarities between the two are clear. Both Ewoks and the Vietnamese were small bands of locals who used their limited resources and heavy vegetation to bring down a militaristic empire. Swapping out the forest moon of Endor for the swampy jungles of Vietnam, the comparison soon becomes obvious. And, you know what? It makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
And it was really cool of him not to be a dick about it, I guess?
Yeah.
Like, at least it wasn't like, alright, Ewoks, time to get slaughtered!
Oh.
USA number one!
Oh, God.
Hey, man, Vietnam's 1-0. My coworker reminds me of that every time I see him. Like, hey, team, what's up? He's like, hey, man, Vietnam, 1-0.
Why is he saying that?
Because they've won the only war they've ever been in.
I guess.
Right? This has been your six-pack of the top six famous disasters that create iconic pieces of pop culture on 89.9 KJRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. We'll be back after Flicker Fade by Taking Back Sunday. Radio Bye Boy by Coheed and Cambria on 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. And in case you're living underneath a rock or something, last Friday, Western Washington got a little bit of snow.
Just a little bit.
It's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
It's a nice little treat, especially like enough to where it encourages people to stay home and just sort of enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's definitely what I did. I chilled at home, got the chance to like enjoy it and hang out with the puppers.
Pupper.
This is the first time that I got to hang out with Emmett in the snow.
Emmett's so pure.
Right? And it was great because he likes eating ice. Our roommate's dog Shadow likes eating ice. Snow is just a bunch of ice. So
Shadow's just a big floof.
Right? But if you throw snowballs at him, they'll eat them.
Oh.
So I just hung out outside with the dogs throwing snowballs at him, and they ate him, and like everybody was having a good time. It's the most adorable snowball fight I've ever had.
That's so cute.
So, I want to know what other things you like doing on snow days, Danica.
Well, I live in from a place that actually gets, like, a substantial amount of snow. So this is just, like, a sad reminder of what could be to me. But my family, we have, like, a really good sledding hill on, like, our property in Montana. So we do that. Like, last year, we had a canoe. We just, like, shoved the canoe up the side of the hill, and we just, like, rode down it in it. It was so fun.
I've only ever been sledding, like, once. That's because Washington, yeah, we'll get snow every now and then, but it's very rare we get enough snow to actually sled.
Yeah.
So, like, we had a giant, like, two-person sled in my mom's garage. It was always weird because, like, it would just sort of sit there and just never do anything.
Yeah, you never got to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, we were getting us to, like, you can build, like, a snow fort or, like, a whole bunch of snowmen, snowball fight. Like, you get a bunch.
Now, I saw an argument on Facebook. There's a couple of people, like, arguing about how, people just need to suck it up in Washington. Yeah, the snow is nothing compared to other places, which is true.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of snow we get isn't really... It's not that much, but...
But the ice is real.
The ice is real, plus this is a different type of snow, somebody pointed out.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very wet snow. It doesn't really compact that easy.
Yeah.
It turns to slush very fast. It kind of sucks.
It does.
So...
It's not fluffy.
Right? It's going to be weird, but, like, describe the snow in Montana for us. Paint us a word picture.
It's fluffy.
It's fluffy?
It's fluffy and made of magic.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just... It's snow. I can slush up if you step on it enough, but...
Wait, did you ever go to school in Montana, or...?
Kindergarten and preschool.
How much snow did it take to, like, shut down schools?
I don't remember school ever being shut down.
Really?
Yeah.
Because in Washington, I know that there were a couple of schools, like, they even got shut down today.
I think there was one time in my mom's childhood... Our school was shut down due to snow.
Like, because of a blizzard?
Yeah.
But...
No, we get, like, feet of snow. Everybody's like... I mean, they plow the roads, and life goes on.
In Puyallup, it was always 2 inches. 2 inches was enough to shut down school, and everybody in the school district knew that, so that when you get those, like, oh, we might get snow, in Puyallup, it sucked because Puyallup's a valley. And getting snow in general... tough here, but like lowland snow in a valley, forget about it.
No, I mean, you can easily get like 6 inches, a foot, like overnight in Montana, so.
But like those rumors of snow were always the worst, because like, it might snow enough.
And like, then you just get let down and you have to go to school.
Or you get a couple of flakes and they don't stick. Ugh. Heartbreaker.
It is a heartbreaker. But I also like, I like being inside and being cozy and like drinking hot chocolate and watching a movie while it snows outside. And you can just see it like through the window. I like that too.
Are you a big ski person? Or like snowboarding person or whatever?
So I've gone snowboarding like twice in my life and I am so bad at it. Once Ski Patrol had to take me back to the lodge on a stretcher, so I just don't go anymore.
That's just you, though. You're injury prone.
Exactly. And when I get injured, I want to be not on a mountain in a cold place.
I actually used to take ski lessons back in the day, like way back in the day before like I even thought about school. Like, wasn't even in kindergarten.
A little tot, Corey.
Like, wearing those big fluffy coats so big and so wrapped up, I couldn't, like, move my arms at all.
Like the little brother in A Christmas Story.
Exactly! And if you fall, you're just sort of screwed. You're kind of like a turtle.
You can't get up.
But it was fun. I haven't been skiing since, just because going out of my way to drive up a mountain doesn't sound like fun.
It's not fun for me. I
get why some people do it. It's an adrenaline rush. There are those adrenaline junkies. Corbin's a big, like, snow person, a big, like, skiing person, whatever. So good for him. Different strokes for different folks or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So hit us up on Facebook, on Twitter, at TheBuzzKJRG. Let us know what your magical snow activities are. Do you throw snowballs at dogs because you're a cruel person, or do you like having fun? It was a lot of fun. They were having fun too, okay? Aww. I'm not cruel. It was consensual.
Kill puppers.
Do you like go snowboarding? Do you sled somehow in Washington? Let us know at TheBuzzKJRG. We'll be back with your news after Mass Intruder.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by the worst Christmas ever tea at Real at Tacoma on December 23rd. Wear your ugly Christmas sweater while you listen to local bands like Into the Flood, Empyrean, and more to cover your favorite new metal songs. For more information, you can visit realarttacoma.com.
Woo! You were doing so well!
I really was.
You weren't kidding when you said your voice was coming back in that it would leave again soon.
You're
doing so well. You almost made it.
I almost made it.
Almost.
It was so close.
But it's time for your 8:30 news, and... You like volcanoes?
Yeah.
I'm terrified of them, especially one in a backyard.
Very near?
Very, very interesting news if you're a seismologist? I don't know, the person who's into earthquakes and whatnot.
Well, I'm not one of those, but I'm interested.
Swarms of 120, that's 120 earthquakes reported at Mount St. Helens within a week's time. Right? Four swarms of more than 120 earthquakes shook Mount St. Helens in late November in less than a week. So all of 120 earthquakes within a span of a week. And for those of you who don't know or are listening outside of the state or outside of the country, Mount St. Helens is that one really big, like, famous mountain/volcano in Washington State.
It's like 1980?
Yeah, it's been a hot minute, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But, like, it's that one thing sitting in our backyard, or at least in Washington State, where we're just like, is it going to go yet? Is it going to go yet? Is it going to kill us all? We don't know. But the quakes are so tiny that you wouldn't have felt them if it wasn't, or if you hadn't have felt them if you were on the epicenter, hit 1 or 2 miles beneath the volcano's surface. Scientists say that the quakes revealed this volcano is likely recharging. Seismologists with the Cascade Volcano Observatory in Vancouver told the Washington Times that each of these little quakes is a reminder of an eruption someday, but the recent swarms do not indicate when the eruption might be. They think that the volcano releases gas and fluids that travel into the cracks as magma is stored. Cairo 7 News reported a similar situation that happened in March when 180 small earthquakes occurred beneath the volcano over a period of 8 weeks. Quote, the earthquakes are volcano tectonic in nature, indicative of a slip and a small fault. Such events are commonly seen in active hydrothermal or magnetic systems, the USGS wrote. The magma chamber is likely imparting its own stresses on the crust around the above it. As the system slowly recharges, the stress drives fluids through the cracks, producing small quakes, and the current pattern of seismicity is similar to swarms seen at Mount St. Helens in 2013-2014. Recharging swarms in the 1990s had been at much higher earthquake rates in annual release. So luckily, we shouldn't be concerned right now, but it's definitely a sign of things to come.
Yeah.
Definitely brush up on what to do if a volcano explodes.
Hide.
Right? Don't die.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I watched a sci-fi movie about it once. Like, one of the sci-fi original ones.
Yeah. Like, I went to the Pompeii exhibit a couple years ago. That was... I don't be that.
Tip number one, do a cool pose.
Yeah.
Next news story we got, there's a Grinch on the loose in Thurston County taking Christmas presents.
That's so mean. Why would you do that to people? I'm upset.
At least one burglar is intent on having a very Merry Christmas in Thurston County. The sheriff's office says a serial burglar is hitting northwest part of the county. From 9 a.m. to noon on Sunday, homes were burglarized in the Cooper Point and Timotion neighborhoods. I'm not even sure where those are, but they're in Washington somewhere. Authorities say that the same person likely committed all the burglaries. Windows or glass doors were a common point of entry on the same items. Christmas presents, jewelries, electronics, and guns were taken. The burglar's vehicle appears to be a silver or white 1996 to 1998 Toyota 4Runner. The vehicle may have damage to the driver's side fender and an unknown item near the A-pillar. It also has no front license plate at the time of the crime. The sheriff's office has issued a flyer about the burglaries. It not only shows the vehicle, but it might also show the suspect. The flyer includes the image of a man looking into the garage window, and the sheriff's office says that person is a suspect. If you can help solve these crimes, call Detective Mitch King at 360-485-2491 or Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-TIPS.
That's awful. I actually have a story about a similar thing that happened when I was a kid. My friend's mom was doing some Christmas shopping, and her car got broken into, and this guy stole like a bunch of like garbage bags full of stuff, but like they were like shopping bags filled with garbage. She was taking them to the dump, so he just stole like a bunch of bags of trash, thinking they were presents.
Nice. Then that again, common tips have been beaten into people's heads, but they definitely forget it for some reason. Don't leave valuables visible in your car. If you do have valuables, like, at least toss them in the trunk or something.
Yeah.
Something a couple of my friends do, just because they don't like having broken windows, is they'll just leave the car unlocked. Like, if the person's gonna break into your car, they're gonna break into your car. The alarm might scare them away, but not before they steal the stuff out of it. So, like, they'll just leave the car door unlocked. Typically, people will test the car doors first, and that way they can save themselves a window at least.
Yeah.
If you're expecting a package from Amazon or something like that, or any other website, because a lot of people are doing online shopping, let a neighbor know.
Yeah.
Be like, yo, I'm not going to be home and be at work or whatever, but if, like, you're home or your kid's home or something, please have them sign for the package and, like, at least take it inside, and then when I get home, I'll pick it up. Like, do the smart thing, or vice versa. If you know that your neighbor's getting a package, or they let you know, or just give them a heads up and be like, yo, if you're getting a package, let me know. I'll keep an eye out for you. Because that's what they'll do. People will prowl around, like, neighborhoods and stuff and just steal their crap. It's not cool.
Rude.
Last news story we got for today. Thieves pose as mannequins before stealing 10,000 British pounds worth of clothing.
Okay, what?
Yeah, taking that mannequin challenge to the next step, right?
I'm triggered.
In scenes usually reserved for the movies, a gang of thieves have managed to pull off quite the crime. They got away with 10,000 European pounds worth of designer clothing from Bale's department store in Worthing. After posing as mannequins alongside real dummies, they struck as soon as the staff and customers left for the day, leaving them with plenty of time to leisurely browse the aisles. Sue's police were left baffled as to how the gang managed to get inside the store without setting off any alarms. The alarm was only triggered as they escaped with their haul via the fire escape. The assistant at the store aptly described the heist as reminiscent of scenes from Home Alone 2 Lost New York, where the bad guys Harry and Marv plot to rob a toy store in similar fashion. Beals is fitted with a sophisticated alarm system with sensors that should detect movement and would have spotted the burglars had they tried to break in. It was only triggered as they left the store. It was a very well orchestrated crime, said the assistant, who asked not to be named. They probably dressed in clothes identical to those worn by the mannequins and stood there, not moving a muscle till the shop shut and everyone went home. Working in retail, this was the biggest fear for me.
People posing as mannequins?
Not quite, but okay. Just like hiding in the store and like, especially after closing.
Okay, so when I worked at Kohl's, we were actually robbed. There was like a group of people and they had like these big hunting knives and they like threatened us and like it was just a whole big deal. But there was like, since there was a group of them, we didn't know if there was like somebody still in the store, so it was like really scary.
It wasn't my store, but the same company I was working for, they have, I guess, this little loft section in their stockroom where they can just sort of store stuff. They found out that there had been a guy living up there for well over a couple of weeks. Like,
oh my god, that's horrifying.
He would hide up there before closing, and obviously this place has cameras, but typically people don't go through the camera footage unless there's a reason to. So he would sneak down at night, and this is kind of a convenience store place, so he can go down, get some over-the-counter drugs, he could get some snacks. There were typically refrigerators and microwaves in the break room, so homeboy was set up for a while.
That's horrifying.
And I also had another coworker who ran into a guy trying to hide into her stock room. Luckily, this guy just sort of ran off and didn't threaten her, but he had the intent of hanging out until the store closed and then, like, stealing crud. So, very real fear.
Yeah.
That is your news for 8 o'clock and for the rest of the day. We'll be back after Every Time I Die on 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz. Cherry Laser with Nurse Ratcheted on 89.9 KGRG FM. It's 8:50, though.
I need Nurse Ratchet.
You sound like it, man.
Yeah.
Like, you started off the show rough.
Yeah.
You got there. And you almost finished out the show okay.
Almost.
But now it sounds like you, like, went outside and took your smoke break, and now you're...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sound great. What are you talking about?
Like, you're not quite... I have a stoma voice, but get better.
I'm trying.
Stop it. Okay?
Stop trying.
Bring your tea tomorrow, but in the meantime, okay, we have to let tomorrow get here, so let's get the hell out of here, right?
Okay.
so long.
Farewell.
Auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye.
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 That was my I lost my voice.
You sounded so scary.
I'm not very good at it. I very rarely lose my voice, believe it or not.
Oh.
Thank goodness for that, and I feel sorry for everybody else. But in the meantime, till tomorrow morning, bright and early 6 a.m. on 89.9 KJRG FM, this has been The Buzz. If you missed any part of this episode, get your butt to KJRG FM's official website, KJRG.com, or download our app. It's free. It doesn't take up that much memory on your phone, and it's probably the best darn app you'll download this year. Unless you downloaded Angry Birds, then I can't blame you. But you know what? Catch us tomorrow morning. We out.